Hey, hello there. Everybody's in one form of business or the other. There is always something to sell and there is always someone to buy. To some it is casual and to others it is to build an empire. However, anybody can start anything, but most importantly it is to sustain the business. This is my disposition. Whatever business you start should be focused on being transgenerational. Not just for your immediate family, but for the society and the world at large. I am Akpobome Ejiro. This is a solution I bring, creating sustainable value. You're welcome to my podcast. Hello, family. You're welcome to the 21st Century Business Podcast. Here we discuss valuable insights and strategies for business leaders looking to maximize their time and productivity, and most importantly, aim for sustainability in business. I am your host, Akpobome Ejiro, and it's great to have you here. Today, we'll be looking at why people buy things and how they buy things. To get started, first, let's establish a premise that whatever buying behavior that is exhibited at any level, at any form, is a function of a motivation for or against a product or service. Now, these buying motivations are psychological reasons that influences a person to make a purchase. All right, now, each of these motivations, they vary from basic needs to more complex emotional desires. And understanding these motives is very important for businesses that are looking out to connect with their audience on a very deep level. So we're going to be breaking down this in chunks. We may not be able to explore the entire framework, but I'll try as much as possible to cover some ground so we get to understand this context of buying behavior. Now, the first I want to look into is basic needs. Now, first and foremost, we all have basic needs, and these needs are things like survival, food, shelter, clothing, and the rest of it. This is something that was explained in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but basically, beyond these needs, there are more internal things that motivate buying. We may say, okay, we'll buy these things because of the food. We want to buy, let's say, a bag of rice because it's food. We want to, you know, take care of rent or buy the new Gucci that's coming out. These things are legit. They are your basic needs. You need them. But beyond those things, there are more internal things that motivates the reason why those things are being bought. Now, for you as a producer or as an entrepreneur who is offering these services or these products, on your own part, you may not be able to fully grasp this because you're on the producing end. But if you're able to understand this, your production is going to go up a little bit more and you're going to be able to produce the exact kind of thing that people may likely buy. Now, let's look at the integral part of this entire context, which is the emotional fulfillment of it. Many purchases that are done are driven by emotions, whether it is the joy of owning something new or the sense of being associated with a brand, or the satisfaction of solving a problem, whatever it may be, all right, every purchase is aimed at creating a satisfaction that's going to improve the personality of the buyer. That's the goal. It has to improve the personality of the buyer. But sometimes we all miss the part of emotional satisfaction when delivering a product or a service, and that leaves us at empty product or service delivery. So we are actually giving out a product or we are giving out a service, but it is empty. There is no emotion attached to it. So when this continues over a period of time, emotion to purchase that same thing drops. The motivation drops, everything drops, buying drops. And that is where businesses begin to experience a decline in a product that once performed very well in the market. It's not because the product went bad or the service went bad. It's just because the emotional satisfaction was removed at some point by reason of the producer or the service rendered person not being able to understand how emotions are attached to needs. So we all focus our production on just needs. Meanwhile, these needs have an undertone of emotions towards a particular action, which is buying. So these things, basically, they're influenced by several factors. And these factors range from cultural influences, social trends, peers, among other elements. These things play a very pivotal role in shaping consumers' behavior, how they buy, why they buy, what they buy. All right, now in consideration of culture as it relates to buying behavior, it is important to know that culture exists in a society. It is not an abstract thing. It doesn't just stand in the cosmic structure and just floats. No, it exists in a society, or better said, it exists in a social system. And most social systems are marked by rules, regulations, beliefs, expectations, among other things. Now, in this system, the behavior, the expectations, or the beliefs of the people that exist in that system is governed in such a way that everyone within that system don't just wake up and just do anything they like. There's a governing body, there's a procedure, there are do's, there are don'ts, just so you fit in. Not watering down the fact that this social system vary from place to place, region to region. Alright, the kind of social system you may likely see in Africa is going to be different from the type you see in the European countries. So, as it varies like that, in the same way, buying behavior also varies. Buying behavior also varies. Now, the expectation of beliefs define the needs. The expectations of these beliefs define the needs. The system had set something in place for a specific society. The system has created an expectation. Now, these expectations define needs. So someone doesn't just wake up and have the feeling to get a particular product or get a particular service because he or she feels like, no. Somehow, something somewhere within a system influenced that decision. It's like training a child to grow. As the child is growing up, you pull that child around musical instruments. While the child is growing up, from when he or she is small, the probability of that child being geared towards the music industry is high. You cannot take it away. It's how the child is trained. That's how the child will eventually grow up. And that's what that child will eventually adopt to. Now, this does not mean that change cannot happen. But how does this particular kind of change come? However, as an entrepreneur or a business leader, you may want to penetrate this market. Because why? Probably what you want to offer to them is something you have researched and you feel, okay, they need it. But you can't just throw it on them, or you can't just shove it down their throat and they have to take it. And this calls for a product or service that can appeal to the emotions of such a culture. Remember that people won't just change because you have a very good product or a good service. These products are good, these services are good, but people can't just change and run to you because it's amazing. All right, so it's going to be a gradual change or an adaptation period. But on that tune, there has to be the awareness of the cultural importance of these people, such that you may need to build an acculturation strategy for your market penetration to influence the motivation for them to buy. Now, what am I trying to say? In the context of social system, there's something called acculturation. Now, what does that do? It's the ability for you to bring a new culture, right, and bring the already existing culture, create a mix of it, and bring out an entirely new culture, like something new. So you bring your culture or your product or your service in relation to the beliefs and the structure and system of that society, and then you add it to what you are bringing together, mix it up, and bring out something new that is both new to you and new to the audience. So that way, it's not taking away their beliefs, it's not taking away their ethics. All right, they still have it, but it's now going to look more or less like an improved model or an improvement on what they already have or what already exists for them. Another thing we also discover when it comes to issues like this, when it comes to buying, is this whole social trend and the peer influence thing. We're existing in this 21st century, or we'll call it 22nd century, in the age of social media, peer influence is so powerful right now, and most times we buy things with the sense of wanting to belong to a group, or we do things with the sense of, you know, wanting to be in that space where we can be noticed. And this may not necessarily be a need. It may just be an impulse thing, just to feed our ego and stuff like that. You know, this can be very deceptive, very, very deceptive for you as a business person. Why? Because it is very, very temporary. It moves with trend, and trend is one very unstable thing you find in the market. If you're an entrepreneur and you find yourself in this kind of space with this kind of audience, you must develop a very high level of innovation that keeps up with the dynamics. Because if you fail to do so, your product or your service will definitely go obsolete even before it reaches its best performance in the market. So these things are very, very important. They're dynamic and they are very, very strategic. So you have to take our time to check these things out. Now, these things don't just happen. Basically, there are strategies that you have to put in place for you to understand and appeal to, you know, your customers' buying emotions or their buying motives. Now, we've set some premise before now. Now, we're going to look at some strategies that we can put in place. I cannot completely stretch everything, but I'm just going to point out a couple of them so you just have an idea of what you need to do and how you can actually go about getting started. All right. So, because the whole idea is this, you have to connect to your audience authentically. Like, you have to be there. You have to be in that space. It's a behavior. Behavior have emotions attached to them. All right. Every behavior has an emotion attached to it. So if you're selling, if you're buying, it has to be in that space of connecting. So the first thing I want us to look into is the market research. You cannot over talk about market research as a business person. There is no such thing as too much research. Research is an ongoing process. It must happen every day, every week, consciously, subconsciously, if you want your brand to stand out, if you want your business to work. This should be like a culture for any brand that wants to stand the test of time. As a business, you need to know your audience inside and out, where they go, why they go to that place, what do they do, how do they do what they do, who do they mingle with, friends of friends of friends of friends. You know, it's very basic how some of these social platforms were existing. Understand market research in such a way that we don't actually see. Now, we want to take, for example, Facebook. You go on Facebook, for example, and you're looking for friends, and it's going to start suggesting for you mutual friends, people of people. And then when you get a message from a random person, you see something like, do you know this person personally? Those things are not just security consciousness. They are all market research things. Why? Because they want to make sure that they understand their audience. They want to build a networking system, a system that brings all their audiences in one space. So it's a long rope of one person that knows one person, that one person knows two, the two know four, and the four knows 16, and it keeps spreading. So when they are trying to check out the market research, all they look for is relationship patterns, not number of people. It's a very dynamic structure, but we don't pay attention to these things, because when we sell for our first customer, we don't look for the relationship between this customer and the next customer and the next. So we just feel it's one client, another client, and then the next client. It's not a client thing. It's a pattern, a behavior. Why this person bought? How did this person buy? And it keeps, you know, spreading like that across the entire system. So if you're going to produce something new, or you're going to penetrate a new market, it becomes a very different ball game altogether. Why? Because you've been able to understand a specific pattern of buying. You've been able to understand a specific model of what's it called now, of your customer structure. So you would know where to deliver a service to, and what to produce, and when to produce it. So market research is not just going to the market to know what your competitors are doing, which most of you guys do, most entrepreneurs do. It's beyond knowing what your competitors are doing. It's more about studying patterns and behaviors. The next thing I want to talk about is storytelling. Storytelling is a very, very powerful tool. All right. You cannot really exist without telling a very good story. Story is the bedrock for futuristic companies. Now, when it comes to storytelling, it brings your business into a space and helps carve out, it brings your customers into your business space, yeah, and helps carve out where they fit in. If I come into your business and you don't give me a space or a room where I can, you know, stay and explore or have that, you know, leverage, it becomes difficult for me to actually associate with you or connect with you. So you telling me the story of your business is not telling me about your core values, about your ethics. No. Those things are very minor when it comes to storytelling. When it comes to storytelling as it relates to improving buying behavior of your customers, it has to do with you putting your customers in the position of being the user. Instagram, we call it user-generated content. It's ownership. That's the right word for me to use. Ownership. Storytelling is giving your customers ownership. That's what storytelling does. So if your storytelling is not giving your customers ownership, there's already a problem with the story you're telling, because what you're just telling them is who you are, not what they can be. And what they want to know is what they can be, not who you are. So these things need to be placed in proper considerations. I think I'm going to have to wrap up here, because there's a whole lot to talk about this, but I cannot exhaust it all in this episode. So whether you're a consumer, you're trying to understand your own decision, remember, this is not just about producers only. Even consumers, you have a role to play, all right? It's a two-way thing. As a consumer, you're trying to understand your own decision, trying to look out for, okay, I want to buy this, why should I buy this? Because you also have to regulate your spending behaviors. You have to be able to save and stuff like that. So you're trying to understand your own decision. And as a business person, you're looking out to connect with your audience. The more you know about buying motivation, the better. For customers or consumers, it will help you purchase what is in direct proportion to your need, your satisfaction, and fulfillment. These are three different variables. They don't work together. You may have a need, but does not give you satisfaction or fulfillment. You may get something that gives you satisfaction, but it's not a need and doesn't make you fulfilled. You may get something that's making you feel fulfilled, but you're not satisfied and it's not even a need. So you have to find the right balance for these things, because it must be directly proportionate to your need, satisfaction, and fulfillment. On the other hand, as an entrepreneur, it's going to help you produce the right product or service for the right people at the right time. So you don't just go around wasting resources and, you know, trying things over and over and doing the same thing over and over. So I want to believe that you will be able to adopt the strategies and look into this more critically beyond the things I've said and see how you can apply them. All right. So thank you guys for listening to this episode, and I believe you found this episode impactful. Do consider to subscribe, leave your reviews, share the podcast with your fellow leaders and colleagues. Until next time, stay tuned on more insightful discussions on leadership, business, personal development, and sustainability. I am Akubomi, and this is me signing off. Have a great day.
A certified digital marketer, certified inbound marketer, certified entrepreneur at CAD Consulting, 21st century business strategist, a brand developer, a business consultant and business coach, author of In Between the Lines, Critical Thinking in Business, skilled with variety of digital skills, a mentor, a business enthusiast, has helped a large number of businesses scale from micro to macro, a passionate entrepreneur, focused on creating sustainable value. You are listening to The Akpobome Ejiro.